So Elden Ring is very hard. It's a hard game. It's a Souls game. Anything from From Software is they're hard. They're meant to be hard. They design games to be hard. The problem now is the fact that you can't. Everyone can't play those games. There's been a. I've literally didn't want to talk about this, but the fact that this is such an overgrown issue on a game that essentially is just, it's like, it's not like these games haven't been popular, but they were on the more niche side than as mainstream as Elden Ring was. And there was hype like crazy behind Elden Ring. It had George R.R. Martin behind it, and you know how many motherfuckers love Game of Thrones. So that name alone is like, and then like as much as they were pushing his name, is like what he was towards the game wasn't even that big of a deal, but it was still a big deal. It kind of, you know, just whatever. But the game essentially got jumped into mainstream, the eye of the mainstream, if you will, from being something that essentially was brought up because of the Let's Play community. It has blossomed into essentially damn near creating its own type of genre of game, simply because of the fact that, like, there's so many From Software games, and now they just call them either From Software games or Souls games, regardless. Because, like, Bloodborne is considered a Souls game, but it's not Demon Soul or Dungeon Soul, whatever the other things are. But those games are, by their own volition, hard. Much like Ninja Gaiden of old, which was a game that was just retardedly hard for no reason, and challenging and difficult for the sake of being challenging and difficult, those games showcase the exact same forte. So, but that's nothing new, you know? It was like, hell, you go back to the old N64 days. What is it, that fucking game where you're a knight and you literally play the game and you get like two hits and you're dead? Because like when you get hit, like his armor falls off and he's just in his underwear. And then essentially you play the game and then you beat it. And then the trick is that in actuality, you never actually beat the game. Then you play the game for real after you've done scene and did everything. And essentially the game itself kicks into hard mode. And then you have to beat that in order for you to actually complete the game. Fucking crazy, but it's like an old school game. And, you know, that's just back in the day. You got like a two hit, you're dead type of scenario with like limited resources and whatnot. Damn near like the original Castlevania, which also had similar situations and whatnot. You know, limited health that you can find, very difficult and very challenging bosses. So the sake of, or the concept of hard games is not something that is, you know, foreign to anyone that's a fucking gamer. It's something that we see and we have seen all the time for generations, if you will. How many motherfuckers beat E.T. if they ever bought it on Atari? And, that was a low blow, but I went there. But essentially, the weird thing about this game essentially getting the criticism and the backlash that it's getting only comes from the fact of there's so many different factoids that are basically the reasoning behind this. One of them is the fact that gaming journalism is basically one of the shittiest practices in the world right now. They're terrible at it. Like, just official gaming journalists are terrible. And what's crazy is that they've been terrible. It's just that now they have a platform where they can scream into everyone's faces about their ideas, their concepts and designs and whatnot. And where before you just had a certain group of people that were gamers essentially pay attention to the shit and then being like, these guys are fucking loony. And then the rest of the gaming community just essentially ignoring them because that's what they do. I mean, how many of you actually read your fucking Game Informer that came with the your subscription from getting a GameStop little Game Pass? Exactly. Like, was it something that you just got in the mail and then it was like, yeah, fuck it? And then when they decided to send you a digital one, you was like, oh, you can kiss my ass. And then it was like, I don't need to do this anymore, GameStop. I'm tired of these fucking stickers. I don't like it. I don't like it. Oh, man. But it initially, and it was something that that generally it just, it's been going on for years, but like just the journalism thing itself just kind of went crazy when it came towards fucking, Gamergate, which happened so many years ago and is still a hot topic for gaming journalists today. Good Lord. But it's not like that actually mattered to a plethora of people who happen to be gamers. One of the weird things about Gamergate is that the fact that most gamers weren't aware that it was happening. I myself am in that room. I didn't keep up with gaming journalism. So the concept of knowing that gaming journalism has tried to shift a tone or a narrative for video games in general, which led to a degradation of essentially video games in the media in general, in order to fit the narrative that gaming journalists were trying to present, was something that upon finding out about it was like, oh shit, the fuck. When did that happen? It was like, dude, like 4 years ago. Like when I found out, it was like 4 years too late, and it was like, oh, then it did nothing for me. But it was a big fucking deal in terms of games, but it happened so long ago, and it's like, who gives a shit? And it's like, luckily, you know, they didn't get away with it. But even still, you have Neil Druckmann pushing out shit like The Last of Us Part 2 and Sony censoring as many games as they possibly want to for absolutely no reason whatsoever, when they don't need to censor shit, but they totally choose to. Oh boy, I've already talked about my distaste for Sony multiple occasions. But it's odd that essentially because of the downward slope that gaming journalism is in, that they've put themselves in, they dug their own fucking grave and then they continuously keep digging, and then they look at the gaming community that they've basically been shitting on, criticizing, and just wholeheartedly just dogging. And then they were like, help. And no one wants to. And they don't understand why. And it's like, well, you guys are pieces of shit. You're toxic. You're a terrible community that does nothing for the actual community that you're supposed to be shoveling news for. Do you not understand how fucking retarded you are? But no. And so we have that being one of the major issues in terms of like that actually is affecting the Elden Ring game. So why I say that is because of the factoid that gaming journalists will dog, dish out, or like just attack any fucking thing that has any problem in it whatsoever, as long as the thing that they're talking about happens to be mainstream and like just above normal popularity. Now, with Elden Ring, this is something that's coming from a niche genre that's basically sparking into a mainstream audience. I work at a job where there's a bunch of people who work there, but on average, I see like about 20 to 15 people on average that I would even like fucking talk to. And with that 2015, like I like five people off the top of my head I can think of actually play the game. Like they talked about how they bought it, they played it, and they like it. So that's realistically like a big fucking deal when it comes to a game that essentially, like I said, comes from a niche genre. Now, me personally, I do not like From Software games. Just get this out of the way. I am not an ally of theirs in terms of like the games themselves or like a fanboy and nothing like that. I don't like games that are hard for the sake of being hard. I am a narratively driven gamer. And it's not like I'll play anything. I love JRPGs. Just certain, you know, it's like I like the games that I like. Boom. You know? And not like I'm not a JRPG fan that just only plays JRPGs. God, I hate those guys. They just only play JRPGs. No, just mix it up, goddammit. But I am someone that essentially I play a multitude of games, but I don't like games that are designed like that, that are meant to be hard for the sake of being hard, ridiculously gory and like messed up monsters and whatnot. It's like that's just not appealing to me. So that's whatever. But that's not something that makes me go, oh, that means like these games are bad or terrible. No, that's just not my cup of tea. Just like how fucking Candy Crush isn't my cup of tea or Fortnite isn't my cup of tea. But those games have made billions of dollars. And I understand and respect that concept. And I have nothing against it. But That doesn't mean that I want to play the fucking game. So that's where I sit on the goddamn bench of this concept. I mean, of this conversation. But at the same time, I understand and recognize all of these ridiculously, like, just terrible issues. So going back to the journalism aspect of it is that they need an enemy. They constantly need an enemy. And the thing is that when games are allies of theirs, they turn out to be crappy games. And then they need to move on to something to vilify. They can't vilify something that does everything that they want. But what's awkward is that a game that does everything that they want is not a fun game. It's a boring and a stupid game. And it's been proven time and time again that most games that basically follow that concept or follow that notion have always done terrible when it comes to sales or just acclaim or anything like that. Take The Last of Us Part II, just off the top of my fucking head. Last of Us Part II, bad game. Bad game simply because, not because of the playing it or anything like that, but, or like the game essentially kind of holding your hand as it walks you through this story, but the fact that the game itself is built around a story. It's a narratively driven game, much like the Telltale games. And the thing is that if the narrative that you're presenting is not a coherent one or makes sense with something prior, considering that this is a sequel, then you failed at your game. It doesn't matter what fucking story you want to tell. You could have introduced different characters and then you would have been forgiven because the narrative would have followed the new characters. It would have been a brand new ordeal, a brand new situation. But you're continuing this from previous characters, meaning that the narrative still needs to follow what the previous characters have already established their characters to do in certain situations that was presented in the first fucking game. And as soon as you don't follow that, you've made a bad game. You've made a bad narratively driven game. And since your game is a narratively driven one, you made a bad game. Ergo, bad game. So that's that. But essentially, The Last of Us Part II was a game that essentially was praised by gaming journalists. But anyone who actually played fucking video game, which also happened to not be gaming journalists, could tell you that that game was horrible. People shunned the hell out of it. People did not like it. Streamers was just disgusted. A lot of people were trying to get refunds back. They got to the point where, much like with Fallout 76, you know, they would just try to give fucking copies away because nobody was buying it. And it goes to show you exactly what happens when the community as a whole just kind of understands and looks at something that was generally made to upset gamers and basically vilify and point a finger at the people playing it, that they don't like shit like that. They don't enjoy shit like that. Why would they spend their money on something like that? And that's essentially where gaming journalism is at right now, where it's like, that's a constant thing that's going on. They need an enemy. They need someone to hate. And so because of that, as soon as anything is mildly popular, they will find some reason and some way to hate on you. And with a fucking Souls game that's now in the mainstream, which is literally a game designed to be challenging, to be difficult, to test your prowess as a gamer in this scenario, boom, you couldn't have jumped out of the gate quicker with a bigger target on your fucking back. You need to be destroyed because you are not accessible, he said with quotations, enough for everybody. What the fuck does that mean? Well, here's getting into another a little tangent in terms of the journalism thing. But the issue with the accessibility comes from the fact that essentially, if you're not able to play the game immediately, like if you're not able to play and beat the game within a timely manner, then the game is too hard. How could I possibly talk about a game that I just can't get through? And therein lies another issue with journalists, as their jobs require them to play vast amounts of video games in a timely manner because everyone needs to get a review out quicker than everyone else. So usually, it was done with the whole fucking G4 thing was admitted to it. And it's like, that's something that they've been doing for years and on the TV show. But now there's no excuse for it, considering that you have people running a channel by themselves that are able to cover massive amounts of games without a team at their disposal. And they're able to either beat it in a timely manner, complete it, or even talk about in the review that they did not have enough time to even get through that, or that the game itself was so unplayable that they could not get through that. Varies person to person or whatever, but you trust your source, that whatever source that you trust when it comes to gaming reviews and whatnot. But essentially, having a game that generally is meant to be difficult, that does not have essentially like the other Souls games, like Demon Soul and Dark Souls game, where essentially they kind of like, I know the first two like existed for a hot little minute and it just kind of went under the radar. And then it's like, that's when that niche genre started building up greatly. And then when Dark Souls 3 came out, and just every Let's Player in the world was just fucking pumping out different videos for it. You know, just like with Five Nights at Freddy, you see someone doing it and it's like, that doesn't seem that hard. And then you want to go do it. Was it the George Carlin joke? Your neighbor has a vibrator that plays "Oh Come All Ye Faithful." You want to get one too. It's coveting neighbor's goods. That's how the economy works. So essentially, the accessibility aspect kind of boils down to journalists being upset at the fact that they're not able to beat the game as quickly as they want to, so they can get a review out for the game so they can move on to the next game. Because now they actually have to sit down and play a game. Now, the funny thing about video game reviews, as well as just in general criticism about video game reviews, is the actual and general aspect of unlike movies and TV shows, where you have a certain amount of time where you can sit down and assess what's going on and then give your feelings. I mean, with most movies, you just give yourself 2 hours and you're good. But you can't do that with a video game. So therein lies a problem, where typical criticism, especially in journalistic standpoint, comes with from a spectrum of just, hey, sit down for a quick hot second, look at this, and then boom, give yourself a review. But with video games, it is a different media entirely. Much probably why it's so difficult for a video game to cross over into like movies or TV shows and whatnot, because it's such a different medium entirely. And as soon as people understand that one of the aspects of video games is the fact that you get to play as these characters, let alone just see them doing things, the better life will be in terms of actually making a good fucking video game movie. But I'm not holding my breath on that aspect. But still, just a lesson to be learned. Bitch, you can play as Nathan Drake. And what he does while you're playing with him builds so fucking much. Me just watching Indiana Jones clone, it's not what I'm about. It's not what I'm about at all. So when you have essentially that giant hurdle for any video game journalist to get over in terms of, hey, you need to play a game, get a game as soon as you can, play it, and then write a review for it, because that is your job, that is what you're meant to do. But the thing is that in that small little bubble, you're not given a time limit that you can beat the game in or anything like that. And it's like, no, you need to make your review as soon as possible. So play what you can, make an assessment, and then plop it out. So therein lies the quotations around accessibility. It is literally not so much more for anyone being able to play and enjoy the game as it is for journalists to be able to beat the game so they can get on with their fucking lives. And again, your job is to basically review a video game. You should know that you're going to spend a certain amount of hours doing some things and whatnot. Your quality of content should have that symbolism of, yeah, I actually turned on my game, picked up a controller, and I sat down for this amount of hours to play this amount of content, and I gotta say this about the whole game. But it's not what they want. They want, I sat down, I played the whole game, and this is what I think. That's my review. Love me. Subscribe to IGN and Machinima. So that's basically the main issue behind the whole accessibility nonsense and whatnot. If you read between the lines about anyone sitting there and just bringing up any type of bullshit, oh, if someone has one hand, they can't play this game. Well, bitch, that goes for every fucking game. And the luck of the draw. Oh, that's ignorant. But, and it's like, that's nobody else's fault for anything about that. But it's like, yeah, you might want to play that game, but the cards don't lie. You can't get over it. This is the equivalent of people not being able to afford the price increase that comes with a lot of the new games. don't want to talk about that is accessibility. Why are games being charged more when they're making far more money? Most of the industry companies have made way more money than any other fucking company in the world. And yet they're charging more for newer games. That it doesn't make any fucking sense, because it just doesn't. It ain't a thing. And yet dumbasses go out and pay and buy it. And one of the many people who do that, gaming journalists, which I think is like a full circle, if you ask me, in terms of that being a thing. But so stupid. Hell, was it? Somebody made a YouTube video talking about how they need to increase the price of video games when it's the developers who pay the game designers less, as well as the developers who push out crunch and force people to work overtime like crazy, as well as the developers who basically kind of screw up or fuck around with gaming deadlines, which require or cause games to not actually be complete or finish upon their actual release, which is an all too common set of bullshit that comes with any new big time video game. And yet we should pay more, because that money is definitely going to go to everyone that it needs to go to. Fucking idiots. But they made that video, and they're just so dumb. A three-year-old could tell you that that's not what's going to happen. Fucking idiots. But, oh, man. So, that generally is like the main nature behind the whole accessibility factoid, leading into the gaming journalism aspect of the debacle, or the issue with the Elden Ring video game. Now, another aspect about this game being such a big deal and a big situation is the fact that it's fun. You know, it's something that people actually generally enjoy. The game was designed and crafted to enable you, the player, to literally interact with other people that deal with the community or have played the game before, to where you can actually summon people to help you play in the game, as well as they leave hints and notices of things in the game for you to be able to read and get a grasp of stuff. Now, yeah, trolls are going to exist and people can fuck around with something all day long. It's the nature of the beast. You put this in a game where I can type stuff. Bitch, I'm going to type whatever I want. That's funny. Comedy. Ha ha ha. Cream, get the money, dollar bill, y'all. But it doesn't change the fact that that is something that generally is being used and is well received within this game. The community is there. Like I said, it blew up in the mainstream for a big number of factors, but it doesn't change the fact that the game playability, as well as the repeat concept of it being the topic of choice, it's not like that's all for naught. It's not like that just came out of nowhere and people are just doing this to be doing this. It's like, no, people actually like this game. But because of the game itself, design goes against the narrative that is typically drawn up by video game journalists or different outlets in media and shit like that, well, then you have basically that dragon that they need to slay still being presented, still as big and as dangerous as ever, but it's a friendly dragon. You see what I'm saying? The dragon goes out and it plays with everybody and it has fun, but you just got just a lot of people on the wall like, kill it, kill the fucking dragon. Everyone's like, dude, what are you talking? This is the dragon's dope. Everyone loves the dragon. His scales are too hard. Scales are too hard. They're too green. I don't like the green scales on the dragon. I was like, well, then don't play with the dragon. You don't got to worry about anything with the dragon. Don't play with the dragon. Everybody else having fun with the dragon. You just do whatever it is you want to do. No. The dragon should make himself playable for everybody. He should make it to where everyone can play him. The only way I'm going to play with him is if his scales are soft. If that ain't a perfect analogy, I don't know what is. And it's generally, it's like, no, the dragon is what the dragon is. You can't change what he generally was made to be just so you could be happy. And it's like, if in all honesty, just someone needs to sit down and just look you straight in the face and go, hey, fuck you. Go fuck yourself. This is not up for debate. This is not up for discussion. Hell, didn't From Software just do a patch for Elden Ring that literally made the game harder because it got rid of so much different equipment and items and whatnot that people were just coasting through the game with, and now it's made it even more of a ridiculous thing? But to me, like, that's something that's like, yeah, it's the nature of the beast. One, patches happen in video games all the time. That's not anything new. But two, this game is designed to be difficult. They want you to have a challenge. So why the fuck people who are like busting in, like, what, like the game first drop, people were like putting in like damn near 80 hours worth of content, because it's like there's so much to do in the game that people just generally enjoy who like those types of games. And people busting in like 80 hours worth of content and whatnot. And then when you have the developers having looking at these people, and it's like, well, these people got our streamers, like some of them are streamers, some of them have people who follow their content and whatnot. All of this shit that matters in terms of explaining why they do what they do. So then realistically, they went back in, patched up a bunch of shit, and now the game is a little bit more challenging, a little bit more difficult. It's nothing new to video games at all. I mean, they do the shit for fighting games all the time. When a major tournament happens and someone finds some type of exploit or whatnot to win a tournament, generally they'll patch it the like damn near that night or the very next day, depending on like the world, like the big acclaim from the fucking community. Because people look up this shit and they study it, they live it and breathe it and whatnot. So it's nothing far-fetched. It's nothing new, nothing that crazy or anything like that. So when it happened, it was like, yeah, that I get it. that's just games, baby. But you have so many people who essentially looked at it to where it was like they didn't fix what we wanted them to fix. And that is a problem to so many people. It's scary why that's like that, but it just is. Now, another major, like an absolute major reason as to why Elden Ring is basically gaining so much crap, if you will, would happen to be with the director of the game. Yes, I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, this actually, from what I can tell, happens to stem from the fact that basically he's someone who got balls. He told everyone that he's not changing the game. He's not doing anything to make it easier. They're not putting an easy mode in the game. They're not deviating away from anything in order to appease anybody. The game is what it was meant to be. That's the game. That's the whole point. You're playing this. If you do not like it, or if it's not something that you care for, you move on to another game. But the beauty of it is that this game essentially was designed with the concept of introducing people into the Soulsborne games and whatnot, or the From Software games in general. It did that. You know, so many people I know that don't play any of the Souls games, and yet they're playing Elden Ring because it did what it was meant to do. It's essentially Grand Theft Auto 5 for the From Software people. They're like, this is the biggest ever, and it was like, yeah, we know people liked it, and it's popular. It's a big deal that people talk about, but never did we dream that a moment like this would happen. So, I feel as if, simply because you have a gaming director who so assuredly let the community as well as all different forms of media know that this is something he's not backing down from. This is something that he's not changing or anything like that simply to appease anybody. This is something that he truly believes in and he's sticking to his guns with. And because he has such conviction, again, you still have that dragon that they need to slay. Now it's bigger and badder than ever. So a lot of the articles and a lot of the comments and things like that about the Elden Ring game itself started to lean more towards attacking him than it did to actually bring up or talk about the video game. It was more so saying, like, you know, you got a guy who made a game that was hard. He doesn't care that he made it hard. And you just, you just got to live with it. And that's not what happened at all. You know, it's a game that, hey, if it's not your cup of tea, it's not your cup of tea. You move on if you can't play it. If you can, enjoy yourself. He designed it to be to where anyone can pick up and jump in. You don't need to understand or know anything from the previous games that he's worked on in order for this to make any sense. Have fun. And that is literally the best thing you could ever want a game designer to fucking say. A game developer, designer, or the head of a fucking studio, anything to say when it comes towards playing a video game. This isn't a movie that needs, you know, you have to grease the palms in Hollywood by sitting there telling them your movie's going to have a message about blah, 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 in order for you to get a piece of shit out because you thought that they knew what they were talking about when they're saying this is totally what people want to see, when it's not. It's a different media. It's a media that you literally are meant to enjoy, but you can immerse yourself into by playing it. Hell, the concept of get good is synonymous with the fucking Soulsborne's game because of the fact that that's just literally what it's intended to do. Hell, was it the creator said in like an interview that, you know, go out there and enjoy yourself and be prepared to die because you're going to. This isn't from the faint of heart. It's not something that was made to hold your hand and lead you across the aisle and nothing like that. And I was like, no, this is a game that you have to play, that you have to learn, you have to understand, and you have to get fucking good. And I just think that that notion in itself is beautiful. But no matter what, that still sparked the ire of the media. So a lot of people jumped on that bandwagon and being like, oh, this is just terrible, tragic. And it doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. It just, as long as this shit does not fold to these people, then good on you, video games. But the minute you fold, the minute you admit that they have power, and it also just sends out waves to every other developer and game designer out there that in order for your shit to matter, you need to listen to the people who aren't playing it. And that just sounds like the worst advice anyone can give anyone, especially when it comes to video games. But that's really all I had to say on the subject. I do hope that Elden Ring, you know, makes a stand. Like I said, it's kind of becoming its own genre at this point, as you have a lot more games essentially adopting a lot of the aspects that the From Souls games have, what the Soulsborne games have, where there's a stamina bar and parrying is a major mechanic now. A lot of action adventures give you limited resources and items that you can use sparingly. Hell, the Jedi Fallen Order game was essentially damn near like that. The third Darksiders, the ones where you play as Death, Fury, Death, Fury, War. You're like the Four Horsemen. Like the third game essentially just took the mechanics and boiled them into a fucking Soulsborne game. And from what I hear, it definitely shouldn't have did that, but it did it nonetheless. But essentially, yeah, like it's really coming into its own. And it's like, that's cool. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with seeing games like get a recognition, you know? And it's like, no matter what, the recognition, that's what's good. Hell, how many games like do we have recently that essentially existed for a good chunk of years before just literally leaving it to the fucking Let's Play community to just blow it up and make it such a big fucking deal? Among Us, Hades, these things like existed before you think they existed, way before. But it is what it is. So, like I said, got nothing but love for you for sticking to your guns about your shit and everything. Me personally, never will play these games in my life, like ever. I just don't see myself playing them. I don't find them fun or entertaining. But no matter what, I'm rooting for you. So I'm going to end it here. This has been another episode of Fun with Flame. I've been your host, Dane the Flame. And as always, good people, I hope you had fun.